Series on the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Be filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. Now, of course, exhortation is written to believers, the born again, baptized members of the church at Ephesus. And of course, the epistle starts off reminding the people of the great truth that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes to dwell within the body, the soul of the person who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. And what a wonderful truth it is that God Himself, through His Holy Spirit, indwells the believer in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, that really makes salvation pretty simple to understand, doesn't it? We can approach it from two aspects. Salvation is simple. It's because it takes place when a person comes to a place that they realize that they are a sinner, that they are on their way to hell, and they deserve the punishment of their sin, and that they recognize that that only Jesus Christ can save them of their sin and save them from their own sinfulness. And in that condition, they call upon Jesus Christ to be their Savior, knowingly, willingly, purposely call upon Him to save him. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But from the other side of this issue, the Bible tells us that wonderful truth that, and we can read it in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, or the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, from a postscript, you might say, after you get saved, or when you get saved, something glorious happens. And that is, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within a person. Now, you know, there's two witnesses right here of salvation. The first witness is the witness of that day of repentance and faith, that you personally, willfully, knowingly put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's a testimony in itself. But secondly, there is the testimony of the fact that when a person is truly born again, that the Holy Spirit, God's third person, comes to dwell within that person. Wow. And so we have the very act of faith, of trusting Christ, repentance and faith. That's a testimony. But we have this testimony, the testimony of the indwelling, the coming in of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I tell you what. If the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes to live within you, and He wasn't living in you before that time, do you think there'd be a difference? Yeah. There's a difference. There's a real testimony, a witness within the believer of the reality of their new birth. And now the Bible in our text today is talking about the ministry of this indwelling Holy Spirit who lives within the life of the believer. And so the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Now, it's not talking about drinking excess wine, because any amount of wine is excess. The word excess is talking about the excesses that come from drinking wine. But it says, and be not drunk with wine where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And today we want to talk about being filled with the Spirit. Now, we read about being filled with the Spirit in many places of the Bible. And there are two aspects of the filling of the Spirit. There's, first of all, the aspect of being filled with the Spirit for power to serve the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, we find that the apostles were filled with the Spirit and they preached. And here we, in Acts chapter 4, they were filled with the Spirit and they preached the Word of God. And so there's the filling of the Spirit for service, serving the Lord and doing His will, preaching the Word of God, witnessing, okay? But in this text, it's talking about the filling of the Spirit for life and character, for life and character. And we see that... the whole chapter is about being filled with the Spirit and the results of being filled of the Spirit. It's the enabling for wives to properly fulfill their role. It's enabling for husbands to properly fulfill their role. It's the enabling of children to obey their parents. And it is... the enabling of the Spirit of God for life and character. And we'll get on with that. But the Holy Spirit is twofold. So for serving the Lord. But it's also for life and character. And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be the kind of person that we need to be. And that's a result of being filled with the Spirit. Now, there are some, we're going to get to the definition. I think we'll give a definition and then come back to the definition because I'm going to give some definitions, not my own, but definitions of Peter Wolf about what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. I think they're pretty good. We'll probably come back to him. The filling of the Holy Spirit, he says, is the very self of God already dwelling in the human soul, working out his unhindered will in and through the divinely controlled faculties in the fullest manifestation of all that man can be and do. That's pretty good. Not mine. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the very self of God already dwelling in the human soul. We talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Working out his unhindered will in and through the divinely controlled faculties in the fullest manifestation of all that man can be and do. Wow. It's the Spirit of God working in us. Now, you know, we have all of the Holy Spirit if you're saved. But guess what? Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily have all of us. We have all the Holy Spirit. You can't get any more of the Holy Spirit. But the question is, does He have all of you? Is He working His life, His power in your life? Now, I'll give you another definition of filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is when the human will has allowed Him, the Holy Spirit, undisputed sway over the entire being, as so hallowed by His presence, and in turn with every other faculty of the inner man, is energized with the very life of God Himself, of God Himself, for the accomplishment in character and service of that for which it hath pleased the Almighty to bestow them. It's really the controlling over our soul of the Holy Spirit, whereas He has the liberty, given the freedom to fulfill His will in our life. Now, the text tells us there's some prerequisites to the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is taught by the negative. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled by the Spirit." The prerequisites to the filling of the Holy Spirit, number one, the soul must be clean. Number one, the soul must be clean. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we were talking about confessing our sins in Sunday school this morning, talking about the conscience. And, how could you be filled with the Holy Spirit if our sins are unconfessed? How could we be filled with the Holy Spirit if our sins are unconfessed? You know what Romans chapter 6 and verse 19 says? This. Verse 16, the verse I want to read. "Knowing not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." You know what it's saying right there? It's saying if you have yielded yourself to sin, you're now under the control of sin. That eliminates the Holy Spirit to be able to control us. That eliminates the ability of the Holy Spirit to fill us. It is limiting. Because why? Sin that is allowed in the life controls the life. "Knowing not to whom you yield yourselves to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey." And so, in the text, it says if you bring alcohol into your body is being controlled in some measure by that alcohol. Whether it's 1 ounce, one drink, one swig, it's controlling you. And, of course, here's the principle. You can't be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit when you are controlled by something else. And just think about today. This isn't a part of the message, but just think about today. Much of life today is about controlling people's being. You know? Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's addiction to video games or whatever. It's all about, some are somewhat innocent and some are quite uninnocent, but that person is filled with these things. They're filled with the wrong thing. And so the prerequisite is there has to be no competition. No competition. The second prerequisite is that that person has to be empty and hungry. They must see their need for the filling of the Holy Spirit. They must see their need for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the context, it's pretty simple of how could a person see their need for filling of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible says there that wives are to submit themselves to their own husbands. Well, that'd be a reason to need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Have to submit yourself to a sinful man. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, I tell you what, that's pretty close to impossible. I think you'd need filling the Holy Spirit for that. And it says, children, obey your parents, and they aren't perfect. I tell you what, I think you'd need the filling of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't necessarily come natural. And it tells us that servants are to obey their masters and serve them. In other words, workers are to not work just for the money. They're to work to do their job to the best of their ability. That's going to take some outside influence because we are selfish people. And so a person has to see the need for the power, the ministry, the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you don't know the Bible, which a lot of people don't know the Bible today, then you don't know what God wants. You don't know what God expects of you. You don't know what kind of life that you're supposed to be living. And if you don't know what God expects of us, then there's not much need for the filling of the Holy Spirit, is there? You know, there's not much need for the filling of the Holy Spirit if a person doesn't know what kind of life they ought to live or what God would expect them kind of life to live. They don't need the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, in the whole realm of service, if a person isn't trying to be a witness for the Lord and they don't really witness, they don't really need the Holy Spirit. Why would they need the Holy Spirit? You know what I'm saying? You can be quiet without just naturally. And so there has to be this emptiness, this need for the Holy Spirit's power. Then probably a really key issue is there must be surrender. There must be surrender. Romans chapter 6. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. We already talked about that. But yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourselves unto God. Now, this is a very key truth about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is you see, remember what Jesus said? He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. What does that mean? I am meek and lowly in heart. Well, the fact is that means Jesus doesn't force anybody to repent. Jesus doesn't force anybody to repent. Jesus doesn't force anybody to believe on him. Jesus doesn't force anybody to be saved. He's meek. Everybody has to choose for themselves. But the same principle is true of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to control us. The Holy Spirit wants to control our life. But you know, the Holy Spirit can't control our life unless we are surrendered to Him. Here's the great Holy Spirit living within us. The power of God. You know, there's three emblems of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, three of them. One emblem is fire, another emblem is wind, another emblem is water. Think of the power of fire. Think of it. Think of the great Chicago fire, destroyed a whole city. You know what I'm saying? Fire. Think of the power of wind. I mean, wow. Can level a forest. No problem, right? Can level a forest. Think of the power of water. Just think of the power of water. Now just a few years ago we had that kind of a rainstorm, and up there, Mirror Lake up there by Wisconsin Dells, whoosh, it was gone. Just a matter of seconds, really. The power. But you know what? The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is symbolized by fire, wind, and water. But you know what? The Holy Spirit cannot work in our life until the soul is yielded to Him. Until the soul is yielded to Him. It's like a light switch. You know what I mean? You have a light switch and the power's there. But as long as it's off, there's no light. It has to be turned on. And the Spirit of God, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. In order for the Holy Spirit to control us, there must be a yielding. A willful yielding to Him. Wow. I mean, do you get it? Do you get it? What is the number one issue among Christians today? You know what lack of yielding is called? Resistance. Stubbornness. Hard-heartedness. You know, I mean, just some words for it. But you see, the Holy Spirit cannot fill a person unless they have surrendered themselves to Him. There must be a willful yielding to the Spirit of God. A willful yielding. And then a personal depending by faith on the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. So, let's think about those prerequisites for this Holy Spirit, the power of God lives within us. to fill our life, to control us, and to do His work in us, giving us, Lord, what we ability to be who we need to be and to do what we ought to do. Let me read one of the definitions again. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the very self of God already dwelling in the human soul, working out His unhindered will. Working out His unhindered will. He has a will. The Bible says His Spirit lusteth against our spirit. Yeah, He has a will. We have a will. He has a will. He cannot perform His will until our will is what? Surrendered. So we're talking about the very basic truth of what it means to live the Christian life. The second definition I read is the filling of the Holy Spirit is in which the human will has allowed Him undisputed sway over the entire being. The human will has allowed Him, that is God, the Holy Spirit, undisputed sway over the entire being. So hallowed by His presence, and in turn, with every faculty, every other faculty, the inner man is energized by the very life of God. That life of God. There's a switch. There's a switch. The switch is to allow Him unhindered sway over our entire being. Unhindered sway or rulership over our entire being. Whatever it is, our entire being. What a thought. What a thought. Another definition of the fullness of the Spirit. It is God Himself in the presence and person of the Holy Spirit entering into the throne room of a believer's being. Entering into the throne room of a believer's being. Ruling there with power for the perfection of life and commanding the advancement of His kingdom, the now divinely energized faculties of a God-possessed and God-empowered soul. Wow. It is God Himself in the presence and person of the Holy Spirit entering into the throne room of a believer's being. The throne room. There it is. The ruling. Undisputed sway. The unhindered ability to do His will. 2 Corinthians said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. You know God's definition of liberty. You know what God's definition of liberty is? You know what this selfish, sinful nature's idea of liberty is? Do what I want. But you know what the Bible says? Liberty in the Bible is the freedom of the Holy Spirit to rule, to do whatever He wants in our life. That's liberty. Wow. The throne room of the soul. Entering the throne room of a believer's being, ruling there with power for the perfection of life and commanding the advancement of His kingdom. Wow. Do you Are you a believer? Do you understand? Do you understand the filling of the Holy Spirit? Are you used to yielding your throne room to God? There's no filling of the Holy Spirit without yielding. This surrender, this filling, is continuous. It's continuous. It's continuous. You know, you can be surrendered today. But you know, tomorrow, there's a new circumstance. There's a new circumstance in which you must surrender to God. There's a new need to be surrendered. You know, one of the great mistakes of the Christian today is I surrender my life, summer camp 2001, and I'm fine. No. You might have surrendered all you had at that moment, but guess what? Since then, there has been much more of you needed to be surrendered. You know, as a young believer, you can surrender your all. But guess what? In a few months, there's more to surrender. Right? You may surrender all that you can at one point, but in six more months, there's more to surrender. It's a continuous surrendering of the soul to the Lord. Peter Wolf says this: true surrender involves a sacrifice which his earlier meager experience could not reveal to him. True surrender involves sacrifice which his earlier meager experience could not reveal to him. And so from step to step, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, the life goes on growing humbly, humbler, sweeter, more surrendered, and more filled with the Spirit. I think a common mistake that Christians make. Oh, I'm surrendered. Oh, I'm not talking about 2 years from ago. There's a multitude of new things to surrender today, isn't there? I remember I told the story years ago, when I, as a baby, really 1 year old baby in the Lord, the Lord was leading me to go to Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and literally I was just 1 year old in the Lord. And so I'd go to the Bible college and I'd hear something, maybe a rule, maybe, you know, whatever. And I says, oh, boy. I'd take a deep breath, you know, and I'd go home and I'd pray. And I said, okay, Lord. Okay. And then a couple months later, I'd go, a couple weeks later, I'd go visit college and I'd find something else out that was, you know, kind of new to me, or was maybe showed something in my life that wasn't really up to snuff, you know, and oh man. And I'd go home, I'd pray about it, and I'd surrender it to the Lord. You know, life is like that. Life is like that. You might make a decision today for the Lord. And praise God for that. But guess what? Life isn't at a standstill now, is it? Right? You're going to find something. There's something more about our soul that hasn't been surrendered to God. There's a new situation in life. And even in the positive realm, that we need to say yes to God. And so this very basic issue of the Spirit of God being able to live His life through us requires surrender. He can't control us and live His life through us if we are on the seat of control. So there's big points of surrender. There's continuing points of surrender. There's also the fact that we go to the other realm of the issue. If we have known sin in our life, we have known sin in our life, we cannot get the filling of the Holy Spirit. There's a positive surrender, dependence, yielding. There's the negative. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't allow sin into your life unconfessed. And so, the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doing in us, fulfilling in us, completing in us, empowering us to live the life that we need to live for God. Wow. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it's as simple as saying, you know, Lord, I'm supposed to love that person, but I don't have much love. I guess, Lord, you're going to have to give it to me. Can He do it? Praise God, He can. The filling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible's making it pretty clear that the filling of the Holy Spirit is the key to having a Christian home. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the key to living the Christian life. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the key to being able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to do His will. Now we have to ask a very important question. Have you let the Holy Spirit be on the throne room of your life? Are you characteristically yielding your life to God? Are you characteristically yielding all of yourself to God? That is the Christian life. Yielding yourself to God. Yielding your will to God so He can do His will in our life. Now, of course, before the Holy Spirit can live in us, there is an encounter with the Holy Spirit, isn't there? and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And guess what? We have to say yes. We have to allow Him to convict us of our sin. The Holy Spirit will say, you need Christ, you need to be saved. And you have to say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. There has to be a willful surrender to the Holy Spirit as He convicts us of our need to be a Christian. We could say no. Oh, I'm okay. But the Holy Spirit knows that we're hindering Him, or we can yield to Him. Aren't you glad for the day when the Holy Spirit showed you were a sinner and you say, yeah, I am? Aren't you glad when the Holy Spirit showed you that day, you know, you're for sure on your way to hell, and you say, yeah, I know I am. I need to be saved. Aren't you glad you said yes to God? And when Jesus, you recognize that Jesus knocking at your door, He loved you, died for you. Weren't you glad you said, yes, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and Lord? Yeah. But if you now are a Christian, let me ask you, have you stopped yielding to God? Have you stopped yielding to God? Have you become a resistant Christian? To be filled with the Holy Spirit, the will has to be surrendered to God before He can work. The life has to be surrendered to God. And so today, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filling yourselves with the Holy Spirit continuously. Be filling yourselves with the Holy Spirit more and more. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What a great truth it is. And I trust that today, as a Christian, you can relate to what I'm saying. You can relate to the fact that I trust very, very, very often you are yielding your life to God. And very, very often you are relying upon letting the Holy Spirit work in your life, doing His will. You are depending upon Him. This is the reality of what it means to walk with God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for the great truth of the Word of God that we are reminded of. And Lord, what a wonderful thing it is that the very power of God, the Spirit of God, lives within us to empower us, to energize us, to make us what we ought to be. To give us the spiritual life and power to bring honor and glory to our Savior. And Lord, I pray that that we'd realize today, and that, Lord, we would take action. And that very need of our life, we would recognize that the Spirit of God is ready and able to live His life through us. That we can depend upon You. And it can be so that we can be what we ought to be. And Lord, I pray that whatever the issue is today in our lives that keeps us from being filled with the Holy Spirit, whether it is sin that is controlling us and preempts the Holy Spirit from controlling us, or whether it is a lack of surrender that hinders the Holy Spirit, or Lord, if it is a matter of dependence, of faith depending upon You. Lord, I pray whatever issue it is that keeps us from being filled with the Spirit, or whether it be the very issue of salvation itself, not having the Holy Spirit within us because we've not been repented of our sin and not trusted Christ alone and been born again. Whatever issue it is, Lord, oh, may Your Word have power in our life and bring us to the place that we would be Spirit-filled Christians. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today and you say, you know, I cannot point to a time in my life when I repented of my sin and turned to Jesus Christ completely and fully to be my Savior, and I was born again. And yet you hear about it today and you say, you know, I have not trusted Christ like what you're talking about. I've not been born again, but I need to be. What a wonderful thing it would be for the Spirit of God to dwell within me and make my life different. And you say, I need to, that's what I need. I need that new birth. And Pastor, would you pray, remember me in your closing prayer as I recognize this need in my life. Anyone here today might just lift up your hand wherever you might be. That's what I need. I need this new birth that brings me into the family of God and gives me the power of the Spirit of God living within me. Just lift up your hand where you might be that I could pray for you. Perhaps you're here today as a Christian and you say, you know what? I've been just kind of coasting along in my Christian life. And I haven't been really thinking about this whole issue about being filled with the Spirit. And the Lord has just kind of woken me up about my spiritual state. And you say, you know, God has spoken to my heart. It has been a long time since I could consciously say I was filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Spirit of God, Him having undisputed rulership over my life so He could work in and through me. And you say, the Spirit of God has spoken to my heart today. I want to be a Spirit-filled Christian on a regular basis. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. Anyone here today? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, amen. Anyone else? Lord, now we thank You for the Word of God and for the great truth of it. Now use Your Word in our lives for those, Lord, that are hungry for Your working. We thank You that You said You would pour waters on him that is thirsty, Lord. And we rejoice that You are looking for hungry souls. And Lord, we pray that Your Word would fulfill its purpose in every life today. That every believer, Lord, You would bring them to the place of surrender and dependence upon Your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, their life could be You living through them, not their old man, just with a little bit of fix-up on the outside. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.